Welcome to part two of our conversation with Travis Webb about night terrors and much more.
Do you feel like there's a risk having this thing following you around? When you look at the idea of getting into another relationship, maybe the possibility of having kids or meeting someone who has kids. I'm a single guy too, divorced as well. Yeah. So, you know, you're out there and you think of all the possibilities of what life may hand you. And you think of all those things. I mean, do you feel personally that there, this thing that seems to follow you around, is there a danger essentially that's associated with you because of what is following you around, with where you may go in life and the relationships that you may, put together?
In fairness, no, I don't have a rock solid answer for you.
Okay.
I feel as though that there's always going to be risks with everything, mm-hmm. not just this, but anything. I have been fortunate and nothing bad has happened to anybody else or myself in regards to this outside of the night terrors and the rough nights and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I've never had it affect relationships. I've never had it affect work. I've never had it affect friendships, anything like that. So knocking on wood as we speak, as far as I know, I think I'm okay as far as that's concerned. But once again, that is one of the passions of mine, is trying to find answers and trying to find
sure.
behind it.
Sure. Do you feel like this thing, we'll just call it this thing, because I don't want to say demon, I don't want to say this, because we can go down 50 different routes. But this thing that's there, does it mm-hmm. tend to occur or make itself known when you're in more, I guess, active locations, when you're investigating things like the Madison Seminary versus, an abandoned Kmart?
Yes. It seems to be, I'm going to sound like I'm Mr. Perfect over here, but I really don't have a great answer for this. The best answer I can give you is, it seems that the more activity and more energy in a location, i.e. I'm around other psychically gifted people, I'm around other investigators, we have equipment going, there's energy in the environment, it tends to be more prevalent, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had one investigation. It was a supposedly demonic case, which I think demons are like lightning. I think it's like one in a million chance you're going to run into a demon, but that's just my personal opinion.
Okay.
But it was a supposedly demonic place, and when we were there, we had another gifted individual, and this gifted individual was much better, especially than me, when it comes to calling things out and equipment validating what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And she had said, whatever is around you is, excuse my French, is pissing off whatever's here. And that's why it's so aggressive tonight. So in her opinion, she felt like whatever this thing is was trying to protect me, which to me was kind of strange, but at the same time, it made a little bit of sense.
Sure.
Almost like these things were infringing on my thing's territory.
Mm-hmm.
Like I am my thing's property, essentially, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's what she believed. Now, once again, I don't have proof behind that, but that was something she had stated.
Well, so much of it is all is just conjecture. It's all opinion. It's all that, and that's fine. That's what we deal with here. What's your feelings mm-hmm. on it? This is what she said to you, but what do you believe?
I think she was definitely barking up the right tree, if I could say it that way. She was definitely on the right track, and there has been times where we've been at your dark locations, murders were committed there, rituals were committed there, things like that. It's your darker case. We've been on these darker cases where it has been substantially different, not just because it's a darker case, but I mean individually. Where you feel like you take something home, or you feel like something's following you, like something's in the backseat of your car when you're leaving a location, those type of feelings,
mm-hmm.
it's much more prevalent for me than it seems to be for most other people. So my feeling is I think she was barking up the right tree. I think she was on the right track. Do I think she was 100% correct? Probably not. But she definitely, I think, it was definitely, it's something I keep in the back of my mind. It's something I add to what I'm trying to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
for sure.
When you talk about, you know, the idea of the, you know, demons being kind of like lightning, I totally understand mm-hmm. that. But there are certainly, you know, more negative things that are out there. What is your, what's your personal take on that? I mean, if it's not a demon, but it's something that is not, it doesn't have good intent. Whatever it is out there. It seems to be causing chaos. It seems to be causing stress and anxiety and just everything that you wouldn't want to, you know, cause a human being, you know, if you were on good terms with them. What's your take on what those things are that are doing those sort of things?
Once again, forgive my French.
No, you can swear all you want on the show.
Okay. My belief is, and it's also my best friend Eric's belief and some other people we've met, our belief is if you are an asshole in life, you're an asshole in death.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is if you got off, quote unquote, on bullying people, causing harm, you know, tricking people, causing pranks, all of these things, if the paranormal, if ghosts are what we, most of us think they are, and it's basically still our personality, then to me it makes perfect sense that it's not going to just stop because they don't have a physical body. So in my opinion, you know, like some of the cases I've gone to where they thought there was a demon, it turned out to be a grandpa, and this grandpa used to beat his kids, you know, used to get drunk and beat his wife, you know, things like that. And they were having issues of the women in the family were getting bruises on their arms, just stuff like that. To me it lined up perfectly. You know, when we use the phasma box, the spirit box, the ovulus, you know, things that allow quote unquote spirits to communicate, we would get names and words and locations that lined up with this family's grandfather.
Yeah.
So to me, that's what makes sense. If you're an asshole in life, you're an asshole in death. That's what I believe.
I've used the term on the show, we coined it several years ago, ass soul. It's essentially the same. Like, you know what, if you're an asshole in life, you're gonna be an asshole in death. And because I think that's something that a lot of us, you know, and it gets just kind of mixed up. We're like, we sometimes put these superpowers onto the dead, and it's like, no, they're just on the other side. If they were a good person in life, they may be trying to help you over here. If they were a dick over there on here, they're gonna be the same thing over there. And
well, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the other issue is it's sensationalized, too.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these TV shows, you know, some of them are great, you know, and I've met quite a few of them in person.
Sure.
That have TV shows currently on TV, and they're great people. But you it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know, in order for the network to keep you on air, in order for you to get paid, in order for them to make money, they have to get viewers.
Yeah.
If they show every episode what a real investigation looks like,
it'd be boring.
Nine out of
shit.
Ten of their episodes is going to be quiet as heck.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I know. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so, television. Yeah. I get it. No, I mean, I've worked in TV too. I worked on the in the food area of TV before I did this. But no, I mean, I get it. I mean, your producers are there, and that's your job as a producer is to make the best television possible. And your producers, in most cases, are not paranormal investigators. They're going around to the paranormal investigators going, say this again. No, say that. Make it like this. Make it like that. Do it again. Do it again. And that's television. Yep. That's how TV works. I mean, it is what it is. And I have many of friends in it as well. And it's just it is what it is. I'm not going to bash it, but I completely agree where it is what it is. Tell me more about the Madison Seminary. You said that's one of the most haunted locations in Ohio. Give me some of the backstory on this location and tell me some of the history of it.
Well, it's near and dear to my heart. I've investigated it a little over 80 times. My best friend Eric has missed like four of those times, so he's close to me. The owner of it is, in my opinion, one of the best paranormal fielded owners of a location that I've ever met. You know, he's an investigator first. He bought this place because him and his team investigated it. And the owners were like, I'm selling it, so he bought it. And he's a firm believer in history and history being important, so he's taking this building and he's going out and he's buying period furniture, beds, things like that, and he's trying to create what it used to look like. So in that regard, as far as location, it's one of the most beautiful places you'll ever see. Mm-hmm. It was built in 1836, I believe. Don't quote me. It's 1836 or 1846. I believe 36. The first building that was on the property was a Civil War hospital. Actually, I lie. The first building on the property was an all-boys school. Then the Civil War happened. It was turned into a Civil War hospital. Shortly after that, the Women's Relief Corps bought it, and they would take, you know, back in those days, women weren't allowed to own property. Mm-hmm. So they would take women and children that lost the husbands and fathers in the war, and they would live there. And they essentially had their own little community, their own little farm, you know, self-sufficient building. Shortly after that, they built a second building called the Ohio Cottage. And it was used for the same things, but then it became almost like a poor farm, but not a poor farm, if you know what a poor farm is.
Sure.
It was kind of like that, where people with disabilities and things, families didn't want to take care of them. They were kind of dumped there. The top floor of the Ohio Cottage was turned into a mental asylum. It was an insane asylum. The local residents that have come and visited the place when they were kids, they referred to it as the Nut House. Like, their parents wouldn't let them go anywhere near it, you know, that kind of thing. Fast forward to recent future, in the late 90s, the city of Madison bought it. The police department was in it. You know, the city of Madison, if you had a ticket to pay, you had to go into the Madison Seminary to pay your tickets, you know, stuff like that. Then it sat abandoned for, I think, like 10 or 12 years. Then the owner before the current owner, they were kind of using it as storage and a greenhouse. And, you know, it wasn't really anything paranormal. But then paranormal things started happening to that owner. So he would let select people that he trusted in to investigate it. Then the current owner bought it, and we're at where we're at today, where on a daily basis, there are teams in there investigating and basically cutting their teeth using this building. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing place. It really is. It's a great place.
When you have a place like that, that is so rich in history, and mm-hmm. it is, you know, it's being, you know, restored. It's being taken care of. What do you think the what's the goal there with something like that? And when you start to restore something like that, and you're bringing in pieces that would have been in those sort of buildings, are you yeah. stirring up the souls of what was there? Are you adding things to the mix of what is there? I mean, what are you creating when you're essentially, you know, redoing this recipe that's been sitting dormant for so many years? It's just an opinion-based question, but I'm curious to hear your answer.
Of course. I think it's a mixture of everything you just said. I know that the end goal was something like this, and I can't speak for him, but I know the end goal, in my opinion, based on what he's told me, is he wants to use it as not only a paranormal hotspot where everybody can come and essentially witness things that most people don't think exist, but he also wants to use the building to teach the younger generations about preserving history. And, you know, it's not about bulldozing and creating malls. You know, we need to keep some of these buildings, especially that are rich in history, so that we don't forget where we come from. We don't forget mistakes that we've made, things like that. So I know that that's the end goal for him, is it's half paranormal, half history.
Is the building, I mean, we talk about a lot of things, and I tend to, you know, go to the area of things that are dark because they're interesting. I don't necessarily say they're demons or anything like that, but with a building like that, and you have quite a bit of experience there, and you yourself having seeming to be followed, for lack of a better term, by something that isn't necessarily so positive. Does this building hold things that are darker than just, you know, I'm here hanging out and because, you know?
Yeah. Yes, it does. I don't think it's anything along the lines of the demon. I don't think it's anything along those lines.
Sure.
But I believe some of the patients, we know for a fact it is, they've got the newspaper clippings, they've got local law enforcement that have reported on it. So there is physical proof. They were not treated well. Because it was an all-women facility, there is proof of rape. There is proof of children being aborted because of said rapes by the staff. Beatings, murders, you know, all of these things are scientifically and physically proven.
Sure.
Yes, I do believe there is. I believe what I like to call it is, I like to call it that the shadow of the building.
Yeah.
But I think that there is something in the building that isn't happy.
Yeah. Let me ask, it's another complete opinion-based question, but in theory, because there's buildings like this all over the country. You know, many of them are gone now, but many still do stand. And many now in the last, you know, 10, 15 years are being used for this exact same thing. It's research and it's given them life that otherwise they wouldn't have had. But when the wrecking ball does come to some of these buildings, where eventually there's just no way to really keep it going, the energy that's in there, the things that had happened there, the horrible things, the rape, the abuse, all those just horrific things that were done on living people, but the energy still seems to exist. Once the building is gone, once it's torn down and they got all the bricks out of the place and it's now a field or a parking lot or a CVS or whatever is put there, what happens to that? Does that change the energy of the area? Does that make it go away? Does it move those things on elsewhere? Or what do we deal with something like that when it's such an intense negative thing that occurred in that space?
The best answer, once again, opinion, like you said, the best answer I can give you based on my experience is, you know, we've done a few residential cases, you know, homes, people that live there. And what we have found is a lot of stuff that they experience in said brand new home that they just built 5 years ago when it used to be a field. What we found is stuff's tied to the land. You know, you have the Native American scenario, especially up here in the northeast.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, we're not super far away from Moundsville. We're roughly an hour and 40 minutes from Moundsville. So we do have a predominant Native American, you know, up in this area, Native American culture and folklore. I believe that once the building's gone, some energy can be tied to the material. So a chair, a table, a flooring, a wall, you know, things like that. I think that, that exists as well. But I think that the more intense stuff, I think what ends up happening is it kind of goes dormant. And when somebody builds on it or disturbs it, so to speak, then it's kind of essentially made itself a new home. And that's only in personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, though, that a lot of things can essentially dissipate when a building's torn down. I think it's a 50-50 thing, and I think the more intense it is, the more likely it is it's going to stick around.
Does it depend?
I mean, you look.
Does it depend more so if it's like a conscious entity versus a residual?
Yes.
Like if you knock the thing down, does it kill the residual?
That's what I believe.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was getting ready to say, believe it or not. I believe that the residual stuff, the echoes, the stains of the building, I think once the building's gone, that's over with. I think the more conscience, what we like to refer to in the field as the intellectual spirits, I think that they know what's going on. I think that's why when you start doing construction and stuff like that, I think sometimes they get upset because, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you're staying in your house, strangers show up and they start remodeling your house without your permission, you'd be upset too.
Sure.
So that's what I believe is happening. But once again, it is all theory and opinion anyways. But just based in my experience, that seems to be the best opinion I could come up with.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Travis Webb. A big thank you to him for joining us on the program today and sharing his insight and experiences with us. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.